too fast. You got to make the morning last, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Well, you know, our engineer Jim Bremer has gotten this fabulous promotion, and he's now going to be working in several counties doing important radio things. And we have Nate Welch here today. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Judy.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Saturday lineup. We like having you.
I like being here. Thanks.
Good. Now, what's your history? What are you? Are you from Reading? Or?
Yeah, I wasn't born in Reading. We moved here when I was about four, though. I was born in Monterey. Then I went to school. Went to all the high schools around here. And then after that, I went to the Navy. After that, I went to college, Chico State, graduated 3 years ago, and then I moved back to Reading, and now I've been here ever since.
Wow, how old are you?
32.
32. Okay, and then how'd you get into radio? How'd you land this gig?
Well, my degree is in audio engineering, and so it kind of just relates to this, but we have a show also on Sundays.
Okay.
And I was just in the right spot at the right time. Carl was looking for another engineer, and I said, hey, my degree is in audio engineering. So let's do this.
Hey, you're too perfect. And then what is your show?
Oh, it's called Sovereign Minds, and we deal with more of a conspiracy type stuff.
And how'd you get into that?
Well, after graduation, I realized that there was this left-right paradigm that was just like everybody's working for the same people, and then I started just delving into the elitists and the like Bilderberg group and things like this, and then if you start touching into that, you start seeing that there's an elite group of people out there that are running our country. Well, that's what I believe anyway.
Yeah, and so, and then what time on Sunday?
It's at 6 p.m.
Okay, well, that's great. And then are you also the engineer on the Sunday shows, too? Are you engineering your own show?
No, Chandler usually does that.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Chandler, but I have been doing the Sunday shows also all morning, and then at night I don't.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, welcome.
Well,
we like having you. That'll be great. And then also in the studio, we have Mark Beecham. And so welcome, Mark.
Welcome, Trudy.
Thanks. Today's topic, you know, we've been kind of working with this show for a while. We're going to talk about digestion. And, you know, when we've had several emails, I have a stack of emails that people ask a lot of questions about digestion. In fact, digestion is the number one complaint in America. And so, you know, it's right behind it, though, is the fact that people don't have any energy. And so, but number one is digestion, and number two is low energy. And so we're going to talk about digestion here for the first half of the show, and then our chefs will be on, and they'll be talking about barbecue. And so, Mark, let's talk a little bit about digestion. I know that one of your frustrations when we run into one of the local drugstores is that you feel like the section of digestive aids just gets larger and larger and larger, and you're always in there asking me, like, why do we have all this?
Well, yeah. I came back from living abroad about 5 years in the mid-1980s, and I happened, soon after I arrived back in the States, I happened into one of these chain drugstores, and I was just stunned at the size of the... You just see all our pathologies on display or on sale. We must have a terrible time digesting food. We must have a terrible time passing our food once it's sort of digested. We must have a terrible time with headaches and other kinds of pain. And I thought, I wonder if the rest of the world has similar troubles, or because I didn't see this sort of thing in Asia or in Japan where I lived, all these different medicines, over-the-counter medicines. And I thought, well, maybe we just have, we're eating the wrong thing, or we're doing the wrong thing diet-wise. And that's why we have all these remedies.
Well, and that's pretty true. You know, one of the things that we do in our country and we're so good at is we like to eat processed food. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about what processed food is. But, you know, we are now getting the rest of the countries of the world to eat processed food. So everyone's starting to have the same digestive disorders. But processed food, well, isn't everything processed? And the answer is no, but we're going to expound on that in a minute. So you're listening to Positively Healthy. I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. Don't go away.
Morning cobblestones,
Welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. And, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about processed food and digestion and how the number one chief complaint in America is indigestion. And if you go into any of our kind of box stores for prescription drugs, you see over-the-counter section is just loaded with everything to ease your digestion or to get your bowels moving. Lots of trouble for us in that department. And the second complaint is low energy, and we're going to do a show coming soon here about low energy and what you can do when you've just absolutely exhausted your adrenal glands and you're just looking for anything to try to make you feel better. So we're going to help you figure out how to repair your body. And today's show, we're talking about processed food. And, you know, the words processed food, it makes you think, well, isn't everything processed? I mean, you have to do something to everything. But I'm not really talking about foods that are prepared. I'm talking about processed food. So food that had to either get cooked to death or it had to be refined. And so if we're looking at flour in and of itself is, you know, it should have some of the bran in it. It's, you know, whole wheat flour is a normal type of flour, and we start refining and bleaching flours, and then we start adding vitamins back in. Of course, these would be synthetic vitamins. And so, you know, when we start adding all of these fake things and we start brominating flour, a big problem for people with a buildup of bromide in their body. We have all this processed food, so the more you can get to something that would be a little more like your great-grandparents or your great-great-grandparents ate, the healthier you'll be. So when we go back in time, you know, all the flour or the carbohydrate products were soaked. If you were going to have beans, they would be soaked overnight for a day or two so that all of the what we call anti-nutrients are soaked out of them, so they're easier to digest, so your body can identify the food as something it's eaten before. So when we're looking at whole foods, it means foods that, you know, if you're going to have a salad, it would have lettuce and tomatoes and all sorts of vegetables in it, and the dressing would not be a processed freaky oil. It would be olive oil or something that, a sesame oil, something that the body can recognize as a food. The body has to have its ability, it has to be able to identify the product. So if you're eating a food, it has to be in the database of the body. And if it's something that was made in a lab or it was heated to, you know, it was one time it was a food, but now it was heated to 1600 degrees and bleached and deodorized, all these things to make it edible, like say maybe a canola oil or a corn oil, these are now processed foods. So they become unnatural to your system. So the more you eat foods that confuse your system, the more you get the problems that we know of. Like, you know, one of the questions that we have here today is, how come every time I eat in a restaurant, I usually feel lousy? Why is that? Well, you know, that's because a lot of the fats used in a restaurant are something I just call grill grease. You know, that's some pretty thick, awful stuff that when the food is cooked in these oils, it's really hard to digest. The body has no history of understanding that fat, so you usually feel pretty lousy. And so the more you eat things that are colored or full of preservatives, the body has a hard time breaking them down. And you might be pretty good at that when you're maybe 14, but after a while, it doesn't feel so good. Mark?
Yeah, we eat out. We eat out a lot in this country. I don't know what, you know, the number of restaurant meals per on average per week, but it's really high. Do you think when people eat out, what can they do to avoid the, you know, the bloat or the pain of restaurant food?
Well, you know, for a while on my blog on Record Searchlight, I would list restaurants that maybe were cooking with olive oil or they were, you know, kind of... Anyway, there were hardly any restaurants to report, so it's very difficult. So anything that you're eating, if it's going to have a weird fat in it that the body can't identify, you're going to feel lousy. So, you know, I would say if you're going to have a salad, wouldn't it be great if the restaurant used olive oil? But it's very rare, and olive oil is more expensive, and so it's just so tempting for any restaurant to use something, one of the fats that are harder on the bod.
So what would you recommend people order if they eat out?
Well, I think that still Thai food, because it's coconut oil based, is still easier to digest and still a little bit traditional. So so cultures that use coconut oil, you're going to digest it better. So if someone is surprised how well they do when they have a curry, or, you know, that's kind of, if it's a restaurant that isn't also using a bunch of canola oil, they're keeping their foods quite traditional, probably you'd do pretty well. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It sort of eliminates a lot of restaurant categories, unfortunately.
You know, it's expensive. It costs more to have real food. And so in our town, I would say Moonstone Bistro has some of the highest-end food, and they cook with olive oil. And when I say cook, I mean they just use it in what they're doing. Maybe they're dipping for their bread, or maybe their salad dressing. And so I'm not a big supporter of actually cooking with olive oil, because it's fragile if it's a good oil. And so, but yeah, I would say that they probably do the best job that I know of. And so, but you're going to spend a little more. So if you're going to, you know, it comes with you have to save up. Yeah. So I want to move on then to some of these other questions. Our chefs are here in the studio, and they brought something that looks delectable. So we have to get on with that. My goodness. The next question we have is about digestive enzymes, and do we need digestive enzymes? And in my practice, the first thing we do is we put people on digestive enzymes. And digestive enzymes are these little, you know, you got to pop a pill to help your food digest. And we all made enough digestive enzymes at some point in our lives, and then the body has somewhat of a limited supply of some of our digestive enzymes, which means that if you were a kid like I was, there were these weird candies called Pop Rocks, and they just kind of exploded in your mouth, and I'm sure that my digestive system just started using all my digestive enzymes trying to break those things down. And, you know, especially if you ate margarine, if you were raised on some of the foods that we were all raised on or are raised on, you've used your supply of really important digestive enzymes that were designed to last an entire lifetime. They're gone by about age 25. And so if you have digestive disorders after age 25, you kind of need to be taking digestive enzymes with your meal. And so that digestive enzymes are pretty run-of-the-mill, and they're in most of our health food stores, like at Orchard Nutrition. And some have hydrochloric acid added to them, some don't. And so to help your food digest, to break it down to its tiniest molecule, you need digestive enzymes so that you absorb the nutrients out of your food. We're going to take a break. Don't go away. A lot more to come. This is Positively Healthy. We'll be right back. Okay, well, welcome back. I want you to be feeling groovy. This is Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy, KCNR 1460, if you're just getting in and out of your car or flipping through the stations right now. We're talking about digestion, and coming up here in a few minutes, we are going to be talking barbecue with our local chefs. And right now, I'm going through a bunch of... I promised a show on digestion, and a lot of people sent in emails, and I really hope we get to your email today. So... another question is, what are probiotics? Is yogurt strong enough to be considered a probiotic? And should everybody be on probiotics? And so probiotics are a type of good bacteria, and if you're alive on planet Earth, in your digestive tract, there is a constant battle going on, a constant battle between the good bacteria and the bad bacteria. If you've ever been on antibiotics, that killed all the good guys and the bad guys, and who grows back the fastest? The bad guys. So you have to put the good guys in, and so you're going to have to do that with a probiotic. And if you've ever seen a probiotic at the health food store, it's going to look like, you know, an acidophilus type product. And I'm holding one right now. It has 14 different good bacteria. And the most famous, of course, is Lactobacillus acidophilus. And we say the word acidophilus a lot. You might recognize that. That's one of the good bacteria that we try to get into our digestive tract. And so everybody needs probiotics. In fact, the good bacteria, that's about 85% of your immune system. So if you are feeling a little lousy, boy, get your probiotics going. And so one one traditional way people have always done that is by eating yogurt. But you know what? This day and age, you'd have to eat a lot of yogurt to get the good guys built up. So my suggestion is that you get into the billions. And so what I take is a 50 billion capsule of probiotics, but you might want to start with about 10 and work up to that. So any kind of bacteria, virus, we're going to breathe it in, and our body is full of this good bacteria, and it just clobbers it, bam, and it's over with. And so you have to have the good guys on board. That is 85% of your immunity. So, Mark, do you have a question?
Yes, there's some yogurts that have more probiotic built in than others.
There are. It's kind of trendy right now to have a probiotic that has extra stuff in it, so you can look at the store and read about the different strains of good bacteria. But I still don't know how if you've been on antibiotics ever, you pretty much need something stronger than that, which makes yogurt a fabulous snack, a high-protein food, very good for your digestion, easy to digest, but I wouldn't rely on it solely for your probiotics. And so so we talk about this fight, this battle. Our forefathers, those who've come before in traditional societies, they understood this battle. And every meal, they would, all the sauerkrauts and all the lacto-fermented foods were all about putting in good bacteria so that the good guys would beat out the bad guys. And every time you have stress, the good guys get depleted, and they're in charge of breaking down your food, and they impart a lot of different vitamins, and they're very, very, very important. So if there's one thing you can take away from the show today, is that, oh my goodness, the word probiotic, it's important for you. Okay. Now, another question we have here is about food allergies. Food allergies, how do you get rid of them? That was a question someone sent in. So how do you get rid of food allergies? Well, food allergies are going to happen mostly for two reasons. One is that your immune system is run down. And so if your immune system is run down, then you have to do all those things to bring your immunity up. One, of course, is probiotics. So I would get on, you lower your chance of having any allergies, even hay fever type allergies, if you're on probiotics. So I would up those, and that usually helps somebody by about 30-40%. And then food allergies are funny, because sometimes they're just about the fact that you've eaten a certain food too often. And so the body absolutely needs variety. You need to shake it up. Keep the food diverse. And cultures of yesteryear, people who were very, very healthy, wow, they would just walk miles and miles to get a variety of different foods, because they understood that they needed a variety of nutrients and that the body needed a certain amount of diversity. And, what we often do is we're a little bit creatures of habit. When I talk to my patients and I ask them what they have for breakfast, they don't mention like 17 different breakfast items that they alternate. They really kind of have the same thing all the time. And we're just like that. The ruts we're in, we created because we like them. So part of any food allergy or food intolerance is that you have to eliminate things for a while and then bring them back and give the body time away from the food. And so any type of food intolerance repair program, it really is a little more intense than what I'm stating, because there's something that you have to do, which is you have to get rid of all the foods that you're probably allergic to, and often, go with your favorite foods or foods you think you can't live without. Those are usually your most offending foods. You just can't wait to have them. Mark?
How common is gluten sensitivity or gluten intolerance?
Well, it's becoming more and more common, and so you'll see at the market lots of things labeled gluten-free. And so as we have hybridized wheat, the protein content is shifting, it's changing, and it's harder for the body to identify, so it's starting to kick up a reaction. And so right now it's starting to be a little bit popular to see heirloom wheats from yesteryear, wheats that are becoming popular so people can try to digest them again. But right now, yeah, it's just really common. People have a lot of symptoms from wheat or from grains in general.
And what are those symptoms?
Lots of gas, bloating, like post-nasal drip, something always kind of dripping down the back of your throat, lots of hay fever type symptoms, skin allergies, Yeah, sometimes joint pain, you know, something that just like some pain for unknown reasons that are just traveling around your body. So because some allergies, they're just so, they fit into every category, you have to go with, you know, what are the most common things people are allergic to and just start removing them. And so when we talk about removing foods for a food allergy, you have to find the foods that you haven't been eating. Like if you really focus on almonds, then you switch over to a different nut that you never eat for a while, and sort of you're removing the offending foods. And if you can give your body about an 8-week break and reintroduce it, then you do a lot better. And then if you really are having an immune system that's crashing, there is a true elimination diet that includes a certain type of bone broth, where you really go bone broth, you know, do these beautiful bone broths for a while. And then, you know, maybe you do a week clean out where you're really having something that basically no one is allergic to. And then you're adding foods back in by taking a little bit of the food, blending it up with a little bit of water, and putting it on the inside of your wrist. And you're looking for it to turn red. And so you're looking for an actual immune reaction. So if you're putting that on the, you know, if you've been allergic to beans, you have a little bit of bean, you know, and you're just going to go to sleep with a little bit of weird, you know, bean juice on you. And so, and then you're going to look and you're going to see, you know, what exactly you have there. Do you have a big red mark? And if you have a red mark, then don't introduce that food yet. And so if you don't have a red mark, then it's safe to continue. And so you're slowly adding back foods, and you're creating a list of foods that are healthy and those that created a reaction. So let's say you didn't really leave a little red mark and you're having something, I don't know, let's go back to maybe a pecan. Well, then you actually eat the pecan the next day, and you really do have gas, bloating, a headache. Oh, you just feel terrible. All right, it's in the no pile. You know, it's going over there in the no pile. And you're creating a list of yeses, and so you're going to start eating the yes foods. And then as you get stronger and stronger and rebuild your immune system, you start venturing over into the no, the foods that, you know, it's when you have a food on the no list, it doesn't mean no forever. It means not yet. You know, I'm not tough enough yet to bring that food back in. And so so that's, you know, immune systems, they rebuild. That's what's cool about the human body. You know, we always think we're at the bottom of the barrel and nothing's going to improve, and it does. So you're listening to Positively Healthy. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You got to make 'em down the cobblestones.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Positively Healthy here on 1460 KCNR. And if you, well, I guess I was going to say that you could find us on the internet today. We are on the internet, but you know what? We are not streaming, and I'm not going to see your question. And so if you have questions for the chefs coming up, you're just going to need to call in today. The number is 605-4567. And so we've been talking about digestion, and to wrap that up, I want to go over a couple of books, and I know that there are some emails I didn't get to, and if you have a question about digestion, I want to give you my email address. It's 19sunshine19@gmail.com, and you know what? I'll just email you back with some answers. I realize I didn't cover everything, but I do have some books that I brought into the studio that I want you to know about. One is called Real Food, What to Eat and Why, and it is an easy reading book, and the author is Nina Plank, Plank, and she's cool. And so it's an easy get through Amazon. And then there's a book that was written 10 years ago, but it's been re-released, and it's just improved. It's easier for you to understand, and with it came a companion guide explaining how to use the book, and then also a cookbook. So this is called The Gut and Psychology Syndrome, and I was talking to you earlier about the good bacteria in your digestive tract, and that good bacteria has been linked to, if you have an imbalance in that good bacteria, it's been linked to everything from autism to ADD, ADHD, schizophrenia, depression. And so there are certain types of bacteria. If you have an overgrowth of a certain not so good bacteria, there's a good chance that's impacting the way you think, the way your brain is operating. And I want to encourage you to work on your digestion. And so that's called The Gut and Psychology Syndrome, and it's natural treatment for all sorts of Mental Emotional Problems by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. And with that, you know, it's been rewritten and it's so much easier to understand. It just got re-released. You can find it on Amazon. We don't have it locally that I've noticed. Also, what got released in the last year is a cookbook called Internal Bliss, recipes designed for those following the gut and psychology syndrome diet. These are grain-free, sugar-free, lactose-free recipes, and they are delicious. And then a gal wrote a book, it's The Gaps Guide, and it's basically an outline. It's breaking down how to implement Dr. Campbell McBride's special book, The Gut and Psychology Syndrome. So if you or your family members are having some type of mental emotional imbalance of some sort, I would suggest the GAPS guide. Or if you just need to rebuild your immune system, something that simple, it's faster and easier than you think. And so from here, I want to introduce our guests. And so let me get everybody all headsetted up here. Let's see. We have our guests. You know, every month or so, I'm going to say or so because I know we stretched it out last time, we have Rocky and Tiff Carbajal here, and they are chefs. And Rocky is the executive chef over at Northern California Rehab Hospital, and Tiff has Sweeties. Well, they both have Sweeties Barbecue and Catering, and she is a pastry chef, and she just loves to. They're fanatics, right? So welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad you.
We love food.
I know, and they brought in something amazing that isn't on my diet. Darn it.
Banana muffins.
Oh, man, they look great.
They are delicious.
Oh, my. And so they're a hit in the studio, and so thank you for that. And, you know, our main topic today is barbecue, and barbecue is, it's like it's taking over. Like, what's happening? Why is it so popular? What happened?
It seems like it's always been our culture, but just recently because of the media, it's all the shows that are on about it, that it just, you know, like anything else, just become popularized, which is amazing because we've always done it. You know, we've always barbecued. We always were outside barbecuing in the backyard or, you know, grilling inside or doing some kind of form of cooking.
Okay. So what do people need to know about this? Or how did it, like, why is it popular now? You're saying these cooking shows, or you're saying it's always been popular, but now it's just sort of gone
now
over the top?
It's glamorized. It's like reality TV.
Okay.
It's something that's always, now they're just pushing it. In a few years, you probably won't see it so much.
Yeah.
But that's fine. Right now, we're trying to really bring it more of a group barbecue scene in Reading so we can have competitions and education, and so that everyone and their mom could barbecue if they wanted to.
It's a fun way for people to get together, gather around the fire, smell the good smells of the meat cooking, and it makes the meat a little more low-fat because the grease, you know, the fat from the meat drips down into the fire, and then it's not on the meat. It just has a good flavor from the fire. So it's a little bit more low-fat.
So what is barbecue? I mean, it's meat that's cooked all day or for like 3 hours, or what makes it classically barbecue versus just meat on the grill that we turned over twice and now we're eating?
Well, barbecue is a traditional low and slow cooking.
Okay.
It's a generalized term now for pretty much any type of cooking, grilling, but traditionally is low and slow. You're cooking between 200 to 300 degrees, low smoke, or just a low coal base. So that's what it is.
Well, that sounds like
also called smoking.
Smoking
sometimes.
Okay.
Smoking your grilling. Food. Is a fast, higher heat cooking.
Okay, so low and slow. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back and talk about low and slow barbecue. Okay, you're listening to Positively Healthy. Don't go away.
Too fast, just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Okay, well, welcome back. We have our chefs in the studio. We have Rocky and Tiff Carbajal. And welcome back, chefs.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, barbecue. I mean, well, tell us how to do it. What do you do? What kind of meat do you use?
Well, there's pretty much...
Is it all pork? Is it beef? Is it...
Well,
I don't know anything.
With the barbecue side of things, you can pretty much do anything you want. Chicken, beef, pork, fish. All those can be low and slow, depending on the cut of meat. Used. Of course, I brought something in that's very dear to all of our hearts, the tri-tip, California Santa Maria-style tri-tip. something that is used for weddings, anniversaries, everything. So I'll go over that. And but yeah, you can use any type of meat. That low and slow, you want to use the tougher pieces of meat, the chucks, the brisket.
I love that.
Yeah, bigger pieces of chicken, quarter chickens, half chickens. You can smoke tri-tip also. That's what's nice about tri-tip. It's just a versatile piece of meat. And then when you grill stuff, the leaner the steaks, the fishes, the thinner cuts of breast, turkey and chicken breast.
Oh, wow. Now, in your catering business, what do people order the most? What's
tri-tip and chicken.
Redding's favorite is tri-tip.
which is great, because, I mean, we've nailed it down, and we will not mess it up. We promise we'll not mess it up.
Yeah, and so that's even the recipe that you're sharing today. It's like how to do tri-tip.
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. This is the methods that we use.
Yeah.
And I go over some different things, and it's very easy. That's the main thing. It's anyone can do it.
Hey, Nate, do you know how to make tri-tip?
Yes, I cook it. Yes, I use propane. Actually, but I just got it. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's
my first propane.
It's a good start.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody's coming on board. This is good. Okay, so take us through the directions here.
All right, so I start off with a tri-tip. Is a cut of beef from the bottom sirloin. It's small, triangle in shape, hence the tri-tip. Weighs between 1.5 to 2.5 pounds. It's very lean, and cooked correctly, it can be a healthier choice when you're eating beef. So it's all around a good piece of beef, and pretty inexpensive compared to other cuts.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Tri-tip comes in a small layer of fat on top, fat and connective tissue that can be trimmed to your liking. So if you have, like, if you're going to do it long and slow, leave it on there. And if you're going to do it fast, take it off, because that connective tissue is not going to break down, that fat's not going to break down. It may add a little flavor to it, but it will just kind of be really chewy and awkward to eat.
Okay. I'm going to ask a really stupid question. Okay, we're thinking about, it's you're smoking something, which means that like the lid is shut or whatever,
the lid is
right?
Shut, you have...
is it in a pan? Is it on the grill? Like, what's it?
So you have your Weber. I'll go with a classic Weber round.
Okay.
And so when you're smoking, you're going to be having your charcoal off to one side of the grill and then your meat on the other side. And you're going to have a small charcoal base. And then to that, you can add, say if it's just briquettes, then you can add other flavoring woods to it, such as apple, maple, alder, cherry,
wood chips.
Okay.
Add to the fire to add smokiness to the meat.
But it's lower temperature, and your meat's off to the side.
Correct.
Okay.
That way it's an indirect heat.
Yeah.
So it's all in the same chamber together, but the heat's off to the side.
Okay.
And that way it's not directly underneath the meat, so the meat won't burn.
Okay.
It's like an oven. You're basically, you know...
Making an oven.
Making an oven and adding some smoking chips to it.
Okay. Okay. I'm caught up now. I'll keep interrupting when I'm lost.
No, it's all good. Tri-tip comes from... the popularity grew in Santa Maria, where it's dry rubbed and roasted over red oak coals. Dry rubs consist of salt, pepper, garlic of some form, and other house seasonings. Commercial brands are like Lawry's, Pappy's, Montreal Steak Seasoning, Smoking Guns, Plowboys, stuff like that.
Okay, so you have your piece of meat and you're just rubbing it in or rub it on?
Yeah,
or?
You get a nice layer of rub on top of it. Taste it and see how salty it is. That's going to be a main factor.
Okay.
Because
like you want it salty or you don't want
it
salty?
You want it a little salty, but you want... It's kind of to your tasting. You got to play with it and figure out where your salt level you like is. Because, I mean, you're going to need it for the meat.
Pick a dry rub that you like the flavor of, you know, when you taste it just by itself. And think about the flavor with the beef, how it's going to go together. So any of these dry rubs would work really well.
Do you put it on both sides or just on...
Well, the whole thing.
Okay.
Yes.
And
if you don't need salt, I mean, are you low salt intake diet or something, then eliminate the salt and that's fine. You know, that's
okay. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Then we have to go to our marinades. Marinades add flavor and can help tenderize the semi-tender tri-tip roast. Marinades are made from flavorful bases like beef broth. Then other flavors are added, wine, beer, herbs, spices. The ingredients are usually put in a sauce pot and allowed to boil and then cooled down. Cooling down is important so you're not putting hot injection into marinade into a meat.
Okay, where's the marinade then? Like you've got this rub on it, but does it all rinse off if you put it
either or.
Okay. You're doing either or.
Either or, yeah.
Okay.
These are so that's sorry about that. The marinade is you do that first. Once you marinate the meat, then you can also put a little dry rub on it and then cook it like that. So you have flavorful inside and outside meat.
Okay, so you would marinate it like in the fridge the day before, and then you'd bring it out and you'd put the rub on and put it on the barbecue?
Right, you do a minimum of 2 hours, and for maximum flavor you want like 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
So depending on how intense you want that that piece of meat to be.
Okay, you know, we just bought our first barbecue, and we don't have the propane yet, but we've had the barbecue for about 3 months. So
nice.
We're going to take Nate's propane.
There you go.
Okay, so keep going. I'm inspired.
So you get that cooled down. You put the tri-tip with the marinade. I like to use plastic bags. Work really well, or some kind of container that it can be submerged in. Make sure it's totally covered so it allows it to kind of marinate in, and some of the juices will come out. And it does, you know, osmosis thing where some goes in, some goes out, and it bounces out.
Oh, okay. So, fancy.
Fancy pants. And then a good... there's one thing with the marinades. Sometimes they have tenderizing enzymes, papaya, any acid, stuff like that. If you let it sit for too long, it turns into meat pudding. So be careful with the strong...
We know papaya enzymes break down things.
very quickly.
Yeah.
And soda. We're get Coca-Cola, put a piece of meat in it, and see what it does to it.
Yes.
Yeah. We brought a little quick... teriyaki marinade. It makes about 2 cups, good for about 1 tri-tip.
Okay.
And that's 1.5 cup of light or low sodium sauce, soy sauce, 1 tablespoon fresh smashed ginger or 1 teaspoon of dried ground ginger.
Okay.
1/2 cup of raw sugar, a teaspoon of cracked pepper.
Yeah.
And if you like heat, 2 teaspoons of sambal, which is a chili paste.
Oh man, I bet that's good.
It's delicious.
Wow.
Bring that to a boil, and then once it comes to boil, you turn it off and let just all seep together, and then strain out everything, and then you're left with the marinade without all the fruckies and ginger and stuff. Or you could leave it in for more intense, but that's
Ooh. Okay, we have to take a break. I want to keep going. We have to take a break. Okay, you're listening to Positively Healthy on KCNR 1460. Don't go away. More barbecue after this. Well, welcome back. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt, and you're listening to Positively Healthy here on KCNR 1460. Well, we're having a debate in here today, you know. I guess anything with propane is not real barbecue. So, all right, we already knew that. I already knew I don't measure up when it comes to barbecue, which is why we have you on the show, because it's popular. People want to know how to do it. And our chefs are here, Rocky and Tiff Carbajal. And, you know, they are professional caterers. And if you're just totally lost today, but it sounds so good, they will come over and cater your party.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So welcome back.
Thank you.
We're in the middle of learning. We've learned the marinade. If you want to marinate it, you can put a rub on your tri-tip. We've learned that your favorite and the most popular in our area, the cut of beef would be tri-tip or chicken, and right now we're going to prepare the fire. Is that where we are? Where are we in our?
We are, yes, right. We're about to cook this thing.
Okay.
And not that completely against propane, it does have.
Oh, right.
It's convenient, but charcoal's the way to go if you want the really good flavors and everything.
Well, of course we do.
But you can always add the smoky woods to the propane to add that flavor. So it's. That's it.
So does that mean then that the barbecue that you put the briquettes in, the Weber, don't get rid of that one just because we got the new propane barbecue? Like, keep that old one?
Keep it around. You may need some time.
For this? I mean, can you do it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
That you need it for this? Okay.
You use it for this. You can do the tri-tip on the propane also. And like Nate was talking about, just put off this, turn on some of the burners and turn off some of the other, turn on some burners, turn off some other burners, and let it kind of do its thing. And that's...
So we still have the indirect heat, the heat only on one side of the barbecue and the meat's on the other side of the barbecue.
Okay. So the propane listeners right now are going like, okay.
Well,
we're still in the game.
I'm not like 100% propane guy. No, I like both. So.
backpedaling.
Got to cover bases.
Yeah. Okay, so if we're going to do the wood, we're going to do the barbecue, you're saying what, briquettes, or you're saying...
Charcoal,
okay.
Briquettes, charcoal, those types of things. You can make your own just by getting wood and kind of burning it until it's charred up, and that's just completely black. And then, because if you start with just raw wood, you'll have a lot of creosote and nasty flavors into your meat that you don't want.
Good.
So you want it
good trick.
Break, burn all that stuff off and have it pure form charcoal.
Okay.
You want the wood to burn down to embers before you ever put any meat on.
Okay.
So traditional Santa Maria style tri-tip, or cooked over red oak coals, but all types of different methods can be used. The other one's a slow smoking on a rotisserie, baked, and even braised. So
no, wait, that's like a chef word.
Braised, cooked.
What does that mean?
Cooked in a little bit of liquid.
Oh.
Sort of like kind of stewed. I mean, that's just one of those, it's such a versatile piece of meat that you can even kind of stew with it. I mean, this is not part of that the segment, but yeah, it can, as options.
Okay, okay.
Pretty old-fashioned when it comes to that. I'm a charcoal kind of guy, so I use a charcoal chimney to start it. Now, those are the metal cylinder-shaped with a handle you see at the hardware stores. And underneath it, there's a grate. And what you do is you get some crumpled-up paper, and you stuff it underneath the under the grate. And then you fill it with charcoal, and then you light the paper up. And then it takes about 15, 20 minutes. What it does is just starts burning the charcoal and starts going up, and then when the charcoal's pretty much lit, you get that and you pour it over your bottom of your grill, make a layer of charcoal, and then put the grills on top, and this allows you to burn off your grills before you start, so you're starting with the fresh grills that are clean and ready to go.
Oh, what's your question there? How can you tell when it's been lit? How do you know the coals are ready? Oh.
The coals will be on fire. And they'll be white and red. White on the outside, red on the inside, or white.
The charcoal starts out black, right? And then when you light it on fire, it's going to have flames for about 10 minutes or so in the chimney. And then once the flames kind of die down, the charcoal will turn to a kind of grayish-white color on the outside, and you'll see the red embers in the middle, and that's how you know when the charcoal's lit. So when the charcoal's lit at that point, you can take it out of the chimney and pour it into the base of your barbecue bed where you want the fire to actually be.
Okay.
That's just like the quick way to start it is to start it in the chimney.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to wait as long.
Preferred method. And then you have to use lighter fluid, which is...
We don't like lighter fluid.
This show doesn't like lighter fluid.
No, it tastes nasty.
Okay, so go ahead.
So once you have your nice bed of embers down, you want to put your grates on there, let them cook off. They get the wire brush, hit it with that so all the stuff from the last cook-off is gone. Because yeah, you never clean, you know, after you're done with the last cook-off. And then I take a oiled rag and just put it over the grills. And let that burn off a little bit. Just re-season the grill grate. And so after that, the you get the tri-tip and you cook it down. Cook it about 10 to 15 minutes per side. It has three sides: the front, the top, the back, the top, the bottom, and then there's a flat piece.
Oh.
And then you just cook over medium high. Medium high is the important part. So your embers are going to burn down. Medium high heat. Cook it off. 10 to 15 minutes. With top is off.
This is for grilling. Grilling, you're going to want the medium to high heat.
Yes,
if you're going to smoke it, then you want your fire off to the side and with your meat, and then that's going to be a lower, slower process. So if you're smoking, it's going to take an hour or two, but if you're grilling it, you're just doing 15 minutes per side.
Okay, so you're giving us two options here.
Yeah.
So we've done the marinade, we have the briquettes already, and if we're going to do a faster, hotter thing, 15 minutes a side, and there are three sides.
Three sides to
okay.
Try it.
And then if you're going to smoke it, here in our last 15 seconds, how long are you smoking it then? I kind of missed that
for
part.
For about an hour to 2 hours.
And how do you know when it's done?
Yeah, stick a fork in it.
No. Yeah, stick a fork in it.
Or a thermometer.
Yeah. Or a thermometer. What should the thermometer say?
135. Medium rare up to 155.
Okay, we can do this. I don't know. What do you think over here, team?
150
right.
Is medium. You want it more on the medium rare side. When we come back, we'll talk about how to let it rest and cut it up.
Okay, so thank you for being on the show today. And, you know, next week we're going to do this again, more fun, on Positively Healthy. I want to thank Rocky and Tiff Carbajal. And how do people find you again?
Sweeties Catering at sbcglobal.net.
Excellent.
Facebook, Rocky and T. Ferrett Carbajal. That's R-O-Q-U-E.
Excellent. And I want to welcome Nate, our new engineer, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much.